Good morning. I'd like to ask you to come to order for the Communication and Technology Committee of Rancho Murrieta Community Services District. It's February 6th, 2025. It is 9 a.m. Director Butler and I, Director Booth, are present, as is the District Secretary Amelia Wilder, our Director of Finance and Administration Mark Matalich, and our Director of Operations Eric Houston, as well as some members of the public. Next item is item two. Amelia, over to you for an update, please, on the website and social media.
In the month of January, we had many, many more users on the website. About 4,000 more people popped on to see what we're doing here at the district. The countries are the same as they were last month, except that last month we had Australia, and this month it has been replaced with Indonesia.
Okay.
Those are hits that we get on our website.
No, I know, but it's weird that you're getting these other countries.
We've tried to figure it out for a few years now.
Our pages are, always the main page gets the most hits. Board of Directors meetings got the second most hits this month. How to Pay Your Bill, Employment Opportunities, and then the Improvements Committee meeting got the third, is on the list, and that rarely happens.
Amelia, there's two listing of Board of Directors meetings. Is there a reason for that? There's two different numbers.
I have to drill into it.
Wouldn't have been the two.
Oh, you know what?
Agenda versus audio?
No, maybe Board of Directors meeting being the top bar at the top, and then down below committee meetings, but that doesn't make sense because it's Board of Directors and then board meetings, committee meetings.
Well, so committee meetings is at the bottom of the list, so.
Oh.
Yeah, just take a look. I found it interesting that there were two lines and two different numbers.
And see how it's Board of Directors meetings with an S and meeting, not plural?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So do I have a duplicate page? I bet that's what it is, because you can get there
from two different places.
Actually, there's three different places on the main page that you can get
there.
That might be it, but I'll look, and because I want to make sure that they both say meetings, too.
I think that may be just the beginning of the title. The date of the meeting is at the end, so maybe two different meetings.
Maybe. That could be.
Okay, thank you. And again, our friends at Boardman, Oregon, are the number one city.
4,100 visits.
So, like Eric had suggested, it's probably that there's a... tell us what they call it, like a switcher?
Oh, yeah.
You're probably right. And then just, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Amelia, please proceed.
And then next we have our Facebook page. Just about the same number of views. I have that right here. Last month we had 5,515 views on Facebook. This month we have 571.
That's not bad.
Huh. And from followers, that's 24% last month. Non-followers, 76% last month. And the use was very even this month.
All right.
Any questions?
I'm fine. When we get into this, I want to talk a little bit more about the Facebook page and what we can do with it, but not right now.
All right. We have public comment on this item?
We do.
I just want to say that place in Boardman, Amazon has some kind of storage facility, like a web store.
Oh.
My suspicion is with sure that is, it says there's 4,000 accesses. I would say there's somebody there or going through there and scraping the website every month. You'll see all those accesses are at the beginning and end of the month.
Oh, I see what you're saying on the graph.
Somebody every month is scraping the website, going through every web page, doing whatever they do, downloading it or whatever. And those places from India and China, those could be somebody using a VPN, virtual private network. They could be sitting here and renting Marietta, and it looks like they're coming from China or something. But, you know, there's no telling. There could be. I've had a website where people were constantly attacking, trying to access it and break into it somehow. And a lot of them came from Romania, China, and places like that. So you can ignore those as far as people interested in the website and accessing the data. I mean, they could be backing it up. In fact, it could be Streamline backing it up to Amazon. I just want to mention those. You know, it appears to be a mystery, but there's
probably a logical reason. Yeah.
Nothing that I understand.
It just makes me grateful that we have Andy to
life in the digital age. Thank you, sir. Next item, strategic communications plan. We didn't really talk much. We kind of talked around this last month. Is there anything specific, Amelia, that you have here, or Director Butler, that you're interested in talking about?
Amelia, you included this in the packet.
Yes, ma'am.
We made a strategic communication plan a while ago. I think it was last January and February. Mm-hmm. And I went through it again and looked at it. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we could pull together and make one item. There are some items under particularly goals and objectives that we should be reviewing regularly and talking about. And then there's some suggestions in here. I don't think that at this point we really have a communications plan, like a lot of other things in the district. But and I'm not sure how crucial it is at this point. We've got a lot of other things to take care of. But at some point, I think we need to, again, address the pipeline. There's a couple of suggestions I want to talk to Amelia about, or we could talk about in relation to that front page right now for disseminating information. And then also the Facebook page, as I mentioned. I think we need to get more real stuff on there, like more things that come out of the meetings or any special thing that's happening, so that when people go to the Facebook page, they're going to get a little preview of what happened at improvements meeting or what happened at the board meeting, that of significance, not just, you know, we did this or we talked about that.
So are you thinking like a headline entry that then would refer them over to the committee? Audio.
I was going to say. We need to start putting directions to for people as how to get to the board meetings and the committee meetings. Put it everywhere. You want to go listen to a meeting? This is what you do. You go here, 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 and here. And I think we need to put it in the pipeline every month. We need to put it on Facebook. We need to put it everywhere because it's invaluable if you want to, if you can't come. And you really want to know what's going on, going to those meetings, and most of us have to go back to them ourselves, and a lot of people don't come to the committee. They may come to the board meeting if something's interesting to them, but they don't come to the committee meetings. And really and truly, that's where the work is going to get done, and then we bring it to the board meetings. So the committee meetings are really important, and I want to also say, I'll make a little comment, you know, the communication committee, nobody pays any attention to it, but that's really one of the most significant areas where we are going to put together and present to the community what we're doing. So that's something I want to continue to go after.
So Amelia, does that make sense? You can take a look at that for us, of providing some references or some links to facilitate?
And I'll work with you.
Easy piece of cake.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So especially with the pipeline, Beth did a little interesting survey for us. I was just going to read that off. She did a poll on the barcodes, the barcode fee, but it also tells you a lot about who's paying attention to what. So her poll, it's little, so I'm going to just read it. She put a poll out on her site asking about the barcode fee, and the interesting thing was that only 245 people out of 2,400 people responded to the poll. But their responses were interesting. Do you read the pipeline? 119 residents said yes, they read the pipeline. That's out of 245. Do you read the Board of Directors meetings agenda? 38 residents said yes. Where did you hear about the barcode fees? From CSD website, 10. From the River Valley Times, 51. From social media, 163. And then from a friend, too, and attended a board meeting, 3. So that was just an example of, and thank you, Beth, for doing that, because it kind of backed up what we thought was happening. And it just kind of gives us a snapshot of where we need to go over and over and over again, and how we need to direct it. Not only direct our communications, but also direct our communications, but also make sure we're putting information that they want in there.
Yeah, one of the challenges that I think is identified with those results is that I personally am not on Facebook. I do monitor Nextdoor. I have been known to post on Nextdoor factual information, especially where there may be information that's incomplete or inaccurate being shared by members of the community. And that's one of my concerns, is that oftentimes the information that community members have is what they're garnering from the social media posts of others, and they aren't necessarily always accurate. And I know that it's interesting. I've had a couple of community members recently question my use of Nextdoor to put information out there, and I have said consistently since I was appointed to the director's position, I will use that forum, because as Beth's poll just proved, I put something out and I'll get 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 hits over the course of the first week, which means people are looking at it, and you know, a much smaller percentage may be going to our website or actually relying on the pipeline, which doesn't always have the breadth of information. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, I try not to engage in an argument or controversy when I utilize that platform. Try only to provide factual information. I did so most recently. There was some scuttlebutt about some financial issues involving staff here at the district, and I did put out information that was already in the public record because it was in the packet for the October board meeting and in the packet for the October personnel committee. But clearly, more people read that post than read our website or our committee meeting. So I have a couple of questions. One, Mark, for you. On our goals and objectives, we had established that we wanted to try to encourage 80% of our customers to transition over to electronic funds transfer. Any idea, as you sit here today, what number or percentage of our customers are on ACH?
I don't know exactly today. I would say it's probably not 80%.
No, I'm sure it's not.
Yeah.
Still
yeah.
A relatively small percentage as it has been, or has it grown some over the last...
I know it's grown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's become a reliable source, no hiccups in recent months?
Because
I think there was
issues.
A couple of bumps,
yeah.
You know, some time ago.
yeah, no, all the issues are resolved. It's been very smooth. You know, I think I've mentioned in the past, a lot of staff's time was taken up fielding complaints or putting out fires.
Right.
And I would say after we did that comprehensive review of the billing system, April through June, I mean, it's dramatically gone down. I would say we're just to a reasonable amount of complaints that any place would get now. So it's squared away.
Okay. And the next goal is to establish direct contact through email and text with 100% of customers, either Mark or Amelia. How much progress have we made in that regard?
There's been progress made, and so we've worked with our folks at the front desk that interact with the public, and they're supposed to do it every time when they conclude a call, ask, hey, do we have your updated contact information via email so you can get important information? But it's something we put in the pipeline frequently. We do it on our interactions with the community, with customers, when they call for other reasons. So we're always pushing that. And I think it is important that the district's able to communicate. And you know, people won't get blown up with spam. It's it's just an important communication.
So are we utilizing that method, those methods, email and text, to communicate with individuals?
Yeah, we do.
And have we had, I haven't seen, so I'm assuming we haven't had any occasion to put out a blast email or a blast text. But
No.
That's our goal, is if we had something that was urgent that we wanted to get out, we, I mean, that's one of our goals, is to have that put in place.
We could, and the district does have a service called Code Red that does those big blasts about local, you know, flooding or any kind of emergency. But it would be nice if we also had updated information for everybody in the billing system.
I think it's interesting because my wife and I just signed up. They're getting automatic reports about the status of Scott Road, and it'll tell me when it's closed and when it opens. And I know Beth posted up a link, Beth or someone posted a link where you could do that. And I'm still reading on Nextdoor, people asking, you been on Scott Road? Is it flooded? And there's so many ways to get that information if you just, you know, avail yourself of it. And so I know those are valuable ways of sharing information. Again, I'm an old school guy, you know, I'm so used to a yellow legal pad and a pen, you know, although I've gone digital in recent years, even in my arbitration business. You know, I tell the parties, I want everything digitally. I don't want to take paper home. I don't have room to store it. I work in a very small office at home, and I have a couple of sets of binders there right now because I have pending cases, and it's like I can't get rid of that stuff yet. But all right, Linda, additional questions or comments, anything else? I mean, I think we probably, when we get to having our strategic planning meeting with the entire board, we should dedicate some time to talk about this and, you know, get a perspective from all five board members, you know.
And where we can go with this.
Where we can go with it. I think we provide this to them in advance. It's been shared before. I don't recall there being much of any discussion at the board when we've shared it previously, but I think this is something. And Amelia, if you'd help us remember that as we set up our meetings in the future and agendize with our facilitator, whoever that may end up being.
With a redheaded stepchild.
So,
I did have one thing.
Yes, please.
Now I'm going to pull it from my brain, so help me. I know. About the pipeline and who's getting it and who isn't getting it. In theory, everyone should get a paper copy of the pipeline. We are also, from what I understand, still providing a link for people who look at their bill online, auto pay or whatever, and they could click on that link and go to see the pipeline. But I hear from many people, including a lot of my friends, that they aren't getting a paper copy of the pipeline, which we're paying to have it sent to everybody, so I'm not sure what the problem is there. And then the other thing is that they don't go to the link, so it's important for the pipeline, as we improve it, over the next few months, that they be able to see it. And we've talked about this before, about the fact that people take in information in a variety of different ways. Not everybody goes to social media. I still like to read things. And I don't like to read things on the computer, especially anything long. And that's just my personal preference. So RVT, pipeline, the link on the billing site, and there was another way that some other
Facebook.
Other ways. Facebook, right? That we communicate. That's what we have. And social media, I think the way Steve uses it is a good thing to do. Like Steve has said, and like we've talked about in the past, we are not going to get into a debate on Facebook with anybody. Information only. So if you want to debate, you can do it, but it's not going to be directly with us. We're not going to get into that. Other than that, I think we're kind of finished with that.
Yep, I think so. Is there a public comment on this item?
Sir, there is. Mr. Gears has a comment.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say I agree 100% with what you're saying, Stephen. That, next door is a valuable platform to get information out there. I know there's board members who complain about the swamp of next door and what and new misinformation out there, but that's the very reason to go out there and put correct information. And that's what you do, Steve, and it can be done without getting involved with arguments and things like that.
Let's just so that we can.
And
okay,
from what
I have that.
Misinformation isn't that much. Most of it is from people who are complaining about other people. I think it's a pretty good vehicle. You get a lot of information out there. And if you're not doing it, it's a mistake not to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I think that one of the things that I look for in particular is not just misinformation per se, but sometimes speculation. Mm-hmm. And I like to set that to rest if I think the speculation either is accurate or inaccurate, you know, a simple confirmation. And I think it's and I want to emphasize for the record and for anybody that talks about it, you know, I only speak on behalf of myself as one board member, although I may provide information about the community service district. I don't that posting is from Steve Booth as an individual knowledge. And again, as I've told the critics, it's information in the public domain. I'm not sharing any secrets, wouldn't do so if we had them, you know. So, but thank you for that comment. I find it to be useful. I use it sparingly.
Can I ask one more thing?
Sure, please.
It's an interesting thing you say about speculation, because sometimes we don't have the information to do anything but speculate.
Right.
And anything that will give us information to base our conclusions on facts is very helpful.
Yep.
And a lot of times, like I said, we don't have enough information to do anything but speculate. And a lot of times we should have that information. So the fact that we're speculating is sort of saying something.
Well, it shows people are interested, I think, is the key. And, you know, one of my concerns...
They've heard something and...
One of my concerns, too, and I don't... This people are savvy enough, they recognize this. Sometimes there are confidential or personnel issues that get raised, and sometimes the narrative is very one-sided because we are more restricted as leaders than others may be in their roles. To share information or to make assertions. But we do the best that we can, and when we can share, we do. And I think we have a majority, at least on this board, that views that to be a matter of great importance, that we share that which we can competently, accurately, and as quickly as we can. And sometimes we just have to say, sorry, we can't talk about that yet. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not at all. But I appreciate the observations.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Next item, internal communication strategic planning workshop. I know we've kicked this around. We've sort of kicked it down the road a little bit, timing-wise, for a variety of reasons. Linda, is there anything you want to talk about on this item
sure
today?
Do.
Okay.
I gave you guys what I handed out at the last board meeting, and then I had a little addition to it, and you guys can come up and get a copy of it if you want to. I did want to say a few things about the last board meeting. Well, first of all, this is coming back to the board. I think this, I continue to think that this is absolutely necessary, and I know, Steve, you agree with me on that, that we have, A, not done even a goal-setting meeting for 3 years, so that means we haven't followed up on anything that was a goal 3 years ago. A strategic planning workshop is more advanced than a goal-setting meeting. It's very comprehensive, and for those who've never been to one or haven't had that experience. I went to that CSDA board member training about a year after I got here, so it was a few years ago, and they covered everything. And one of the things they covered in that was the strategic planning committee meeting. And one of the things they said about it is it's just good governance. We need to do this. We need to be held accountable for providing the services to the community that we are expected to do. And so in order to do that, we've got to sit around and throw stuff out and talk about it and decide what's a priority. There's no vote and just discussion and conclusions, and there's no policy decisions that are made at those meetings. So if you don't want to sit here for, depending on where we have it and how we do it and all that sort of stuff. We do need a facilitator, but as I've said to Steve and he said to me, when we looked at the people who had put in,
Bids.
Thank you.
Proposals.
Proposals, right. There was a lot of stuff in there that I personally don't think we need to engage in. This is not a kumbaya meeting. We don't need to learn how to, you know, talk to each other and, you know, do all that.
Yeah, maybe we do.
Well, maybe we do, but it's not going to happen at this meeting. In any event, this is going to be very purposeful. And so when we look at who we're going to use as a facilitator, we need to make sure that it's a facilitator who gets what we need to do and who's there to help us, not somebody who has an agenda of their own. And I say that because we had a facilitator once before for a town hall meeting who was very intent on controlling everything. And there was a few minutes within the meeting that Steve had to take over and say, okay, you know, this is not going the way we intended it to go. And she had to back off. And I also remember how much we paid her. And so some of these folks who have made bids are just a couple thousand dollars more than we paid her. And so I still feel strongly about this meeting. I really want to do it at some point where we have a little more information on where we're going to be with budget,
mm-hmm.
and where we're going to be with audits. So I'm thinking end of March, beginning of April.
I think we talked about that. Amelia, I think we asked you to take back and ask those companies that put in proposals for revised proposals. What's the status of that?
I need to know what you want taken off. I didn't have that in my notes from the last meeting that there was anything.
Okay, all right. So we'll, okay, very well. We'll follow up with you then on that separately.
We'll do it before the meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'll ask tomorrow, you know, as soon as I get it back.
Okay, great.
The other thing I wanted to say about the meeting is I don't want this to go last. This needs to be the first or second or third thing on the agenda because people are asleep and want to go home by the end of the meeting.
Oh, you mean on the board agenda?
Yeah. If we can put it, because I felt that it was an abject failure when we talked about it.
Well, we had a very robust agenda, and we actually skipped over it because of the late hour. I don't know that there's a lot to communicate with the board, but let's put it on an item up high on the agenda, please.
Do we need to take a vote on this? That's one of my questions.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think we just need to say this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And, well, to pick a facilitator.
We will have to. We will need that, and we'll need to probably establish dates on the record as well.
Okay.
So I don't know if we'll be able to do that this month or not, but we can certainly see where we are when we get to that meeting. What, in 2 weeks?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? No?
I just want to say one last thing. These types of meetings should not happen every 3 years. They're supposed to happen every year so that you can look back and say, oh, we had this long list of things to look at or take care of or to, you know, put together, and we accomplished these three things. It doesn't necessarily even have to be a big, long planning meeting, but a time when we
You should together. Periodically check in on whether or not you're meeting your goals and objectives.
Right, exactly.
I get it.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's about it. The first page went into what I envisioned and what I've learned from CSDA as to where we want to go with this. And the other thing is that I think that we will need Eric and Mark. We may not need you for the whole, you know, period of time, but we will bring you in to get questions answered and objectives looked at and all that sort of stuff.
Well, depending on timing and other circumstances, this would be a normal function of the general manager as well. So we'll see where that takes us. But clearly you two gentlemen is our directors of our two primary areas. Obviously you each wear multiple hats, and so absolutely your input will be important, as will any direction that the board wants to provide, in terms of where we're going. I think you both have done an excellent job of bringing recommendations to us and responding to issues in an informed and helpful manner. So absolutely your input and exchange of information will be critical. I think it's a very valid point.
And then just kind of the last thing is that there will be a summary. I would imagine we would have a summary of what we've concluded, what we've made priorities, etc. And one of the things I'd like to use as an example of why we need a meeting like this is that we have we probably will work with a facilitator to get out some pre-worksheets that people will fill out, especially board members, so that we have something to work off of. And so one of the things that always comes to my mind when we're talking about something like this is infrastructure, CIP, and upcoming possibilities of expenses in those areas for emergency water, et cetera. You can't talk about one without talking about the other. And so when we have a Loomis report that has made 20 years worth of suggestions in 5-year periods of time, when we do a CIP list, we've got to look at that if we're going to deal with infrastructure. So that's one of my examples of how we are going to try to put some of this stuff together. Okay, that's it.
In the regard of that last point, Eric, you haven't been here for these discussions, and Mark, I think you were last year when we developed the budget, but we have, in the short time that I've been affiliated with the board, been forced, because of financial uncertainty and financial restraint, sort of been required to cherry pick, if you will, to what the miners used to call high base, and take those most critical issues and most affordable issues in some respects, and that's become our annual CIP list. And I think we all envision a time when we need to do better than that, and certainly when Mark and the staff that he's working with have an opportunity to verify for us how much money is in each one of the enterprise fund buckets, mm-hmm. and we know what our reserves are, and we know what we project to collect, I think you'll be in a better position to prioritize, you know, those CIP projects year to year over maybe a two-year period. But I know that that's exactly what's happened in the prior years. Hey, we got this list, and here's what we can afford to do this year. And so it's a daunting task that I'm sure you and Mark will work in tandem on as we move forward.
There is one other thing on internal communication that I remember starting this about 5 years ago. We are going to get a system, right, Eric, that tells us what problems we've solved, what leaks we fixed, et cetera, the schedule that you guys have. And so we're going to have a system that's going to record that or keep track of that stuff, okay? And that's great. I'm very happy about that because the fact that we haven't had one is kind of daunting to think about. But a number of years ago, when I first started, I was like, how do we keep track of this stuff? We're working on this, we're doing that, you know, and not as it relates to those tasks that the staff and the workers have to do, but as it relates to the things that we are dealing with that are not one-off. And so I requested that we do some sort of a spreadsheet on projects that were big, whether it is a $559,000
infrastructure in the village.
Right.
The water problems on Fuente de Paz.
Right.
Those
right.
things, yeah.
All
that makes
stuff.
Sense. And that so, looks an awful lot like the grievance tracking log I used to maintain when I worked full-time in labor relations.
And it doesn't have to be daunting. The reason people have said, oh, I don't think we should do that is because it's like, well, we have too much to do already, and, you know, this isn't necessary. And after Michael Fritchie, who used to do it? Paul Stevenson did it. As a matter of fact, he was a part of this. And then after Paul left, it just dropped off the face of the earth. So it's simple. It just says what the initiative was, what the status is, a short description of what you're doing, the start date, and when it's done. And so that, to me, if we have that kind of flowing or running accounting of this, is going to make so much easier. Even for people, I mean, we can put it on the website. We can put it, you know, places where people don't have to go and listen to the entire meeting in order to find out about the big hole in the ground that we have to fix.
Yeah, we started doing that some time ago with Public Records Act requests for the same reason,
exactly.
So that the board can know, you know, there was this huge, huge backlog, and a big function of that was the volume of requests mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. came in. That got resolved, and fortunately now the requests are fairly small in number and much more manageable, although I'm still waiting for one that I've submitted.
And they're working on
it. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I talked to Andy about it last week or a week before. But
So would you like me to put this on next month's agenda? I'll take the old spreadsheets that we mm-hmm. had
yeah.
and give them to staff, and then we'll update them
yeah.
and talk about what's going on and add new projects.
Yeah, let's have Eric take a look at it for the next communications meeting. And if you have any concerns, comments, or suggestions, again, we value your opinion and would like to have you take a look
Both
at
of
it.
You.
And again, what we don't want to do is pile work on you, but if it helps you and it helps the board keep track of what we're doing, again, it's a tool, and again, it's something that we could, I agree, post on the website, and people either who have an interest in a specific project would have up-to-date information,
right.
or people just generally are interested. I just think the more that we can do that, the less susceptible we are to complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I just think that's a good place to be. So,
I'm thinking of the Rio Osso tank.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother topic.
That's a whole nother topic
that the improvements committee talked about yesterday.
We could have our own spreadsheet for that. One spreadsheet.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. That's it. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Okay.
Richard, did you wish to speak on this issue?
No, not this one.
Okay. All right. Then we'll go down to item number 5, communications with the community. We have two items there. One is barcodes. I kind of think we just sort of have that in suspense, don't we,
yeah,
at this point in time? Not really anything to talk about at this point. I think the board suspended that discussion at the last board meeting. There are continuing discussions and work being performed on breaking down to more finite details the revenue stream for security for Measure J.
We're going to talk about that in the security
meeting. Yeah, and Linda's going to talk about that and some other items in the security meeting at 10. The other item is gate access. And Mark, I understand you've got a community meeting set up or something. Did you want to tell us about that?
We've talked over the months about just communicating more with the community and being more involved and pushing information out to the community, and there are a couple of things. One is gateaccess.net. So this is something that has been around for years and years and years, and mm-hmm. I've, in my time here, I've talked to several residents, but I was shocked to find that some residents that have been here for as many as 20 years didn't even know it existed.
I think it's only been around for a handful of years.
4 years, 5 years.
4 years, okay.
Four
but
or 5 years at the
four
moment.
Or 5 years, but it's something that's been here. And what it is you go online and everybody actually has their own account that somehow is tied to information that they all know. And they have a code that they can sign in and they can register their guests and then actually push a QR code to their guest's mobile device. And then when their guest comes to the gate, the visitor window, the gate officer just has to scan the QR code, and then all the information is there. And it's a more efficient process to get your guest in.
Now, in theory, Mark, I'm hearing from folks that the QR code scan is taking more time than if they just say, I'm visiting Steve Booth, I should be on his guest list today, or Steve Booth is having a gathering, I'm here for that. Mm. So I don't know. We just may want to take a look and see how we can refine okay. that. But I'm hearing that report from more than one or two individuals.
Okay.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
And what's really good about it, in my mind, is it helps us monitor. I don't want to use the word control, but I can't think of a better one. Who actually gains access
right.
behind the gates?
Right.
So I think it's a good tool. And yep. I like the idea that you're reaching out to the community. One, I think it's good for you to have some face time. Mm-hmm. And two, anytime we can share info with yeah. the community, I think is a good thing. But you might want to take a look at what the feedback and what our gate officers mm. are saying about the barcode or the QR code.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'll definitely check into it. To see what's more efficient. Obviously, if it's more efficient to give their name and then have them look you up and then log your license plate manually, and maybe it is, and maybe the QR code is faulty, I don't know, but we'll take a look into that. And then the other thing that we're gonna present on is we're gonna have one of our billing, our billing person is gonna sit in here and just be available to talk if residents want to look at that electronic bill pay, and then obviously if they want to provide email addresses. So it's just one time meeting with the community, being available, field
and
questions. It's the 11th from 10 to 11 next Tuesday. And then I would love it if the board has recommendations on future topics that they would like staff here to discuss. You know, maybe this is something we could do quarterly or periodically, whatever. I mean, if this is a success, maybe we can do more if the board obviously has ideas or suggestions on things that they think the community might be interested in. And if the community has things that they're interested in, they can also send in requests for topics for these kind of days. But I just thought it might be a good way to engage the community.
I had a reason for putting these on here that basically, people had a really fast and furious reaction to the barcodes and thing. And then the gate access is a little different. We have talked about having community meetings in the communication in this committee. And I have brought up the idea that three or four times a year, but probably maybe two times a year when it's nice, that we have an outdoor experience. And we, one thing that has to happen is, like with everything else, you got to start about 3 months ahead of time telling people we're going to do this. Hmm. You can't drop something on them and say, oh, by the way, we're going to charge you for barcodes. Never going to go over really well. Anything like that is going to be met with the wall. And they may change their mind later on when it gets expanded or, you know, more information is available or however that works out. But it isn't just you and it isn't just the barcodes. This happens all the time. And so, or whenever we're faced with something like this. And the gate access thing, you know, it's one of those things that if we had, like you suggested, you know, somebody to talk to people about bills, but if we had, you know, tables and refreshments and it was a nice day and, you know, people could come and be out here or be over at our little, we could put a pop-up or something, expand it so that you get some response and you don't feel like you're doing this in a vacuum. That was my reason for wanting to put those two items as examples of how we can go forward with this and do a bang-up job out of it. It just goes along with all the other issues that and situations that we have that we want to get information out to the community. And so, great ideas, but we just have to fine-tune them.
Annually, there's an event up at Stonehouse. It's a community day sort of thing.
Good
and
idea.
I know law enforcement shows up, mm-hmm. and there's some other folks that show up and have tables. We probably ought to get in on that and have a CSD table.
Absolutely.
At that community event. Does anybody in the room remember what that's called?
We've had a table there before. Travis has gone out there with, like, different water samples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we should, just it's an opportunity just to have a face out there in a positive setting and families come around and take advantage of that. So let's make a note, and we'll keep our eyes and ears open.
Yeah.
It's always on a Saturday, Mark, so we'll have to figure out staffing.
Yeah,
you know.
That's great.
But I think we should probably participate in that on some level.
That could be our beginning.
Yeah, I think it's a great, mm-hmm. great tool.
Great.
Looks like you have a comment from the public.
I do. Richard Gears, and then I have one more after.
Okay, Mr. Gears.
I'm pretty much agreeing with Linda. Somehow, I don't know how you do it, but there needs to be outreach to people that are going to be affected by the things that the board are doing. I know, for better or for worse, people don't care. They look at the agenda, they see things, they have no idea how it's going to affect them.
Because they haven't been following.
Changes get made, and they find out, they're going to be charged for barcodes every year, and that's their first realization that it affects them. If somehow you could reach out to them, let them know in advance so they can get
what we're working on.
Better for worse, they may like it, may not like it, but at least they can know what's going on, mm-hmm. have an input. And I think that's true with a lot of things. I remember when board members got elected to deal with funding reserves. Well, we didn't know what that meant. That meant big raises in rates.
Right.
But, you know, it's just all that was mentioned to it was funding reserves.
And when it came up it started to come up in the budget process, and people lost their grip on reality. Yeah.
I mean, it's part of communication. Get
it is.
The good, mm-hmm. the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
As early as possible.
Yeah.
So, like I said, the more communication, the better. The more facts we have, the better. It's a difficult job. I mean, people have their own lives to a large extent. They don't care until it affects them. Somehow you have to somehow cope with that. Mm-hmm.
I echo your comments because I myself have used the expression, on average, people don't care until they do.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
And see, this committee is really important.
Well, no, and I obviously, Director Butler and I share that sentiment and have been advocating for greater communication. And as Mr. Gere says, sometimes that is good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's ugly, and that's true of the things we have to share sometimes as well as the response we get. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a period of time when there was perceived to be so much bad and so much ugly, people shied away. People at this dais, I think, shied away from that. And unfortunately, I've heard members of the board over the couple of years I've been here literally say, I don't really care what the community says. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, you're in an elected position, you need to care. Mm-hmm. And I know we have a majority on the board now that does in fact believe that information is knowledge, knowledge is power, and it's meant to be shared. And so that's our goal. Another public comment?
Yes, sir. Beth.
Fedeiros?
Yes.
Okay. Pull the mic down in front of you, please, Beth. Thank you.
Is it green?
Nope.
Okay.
Gate access.
There you go.
I've seen a lot of complaints over the years, not just recently, that residents will get notifications that someone has come in and they've never called anybody in, nobody they even know, so it's an accident by the gate. Or somebody recently, I think I probably sent that to you, Linda. Somebody was not on the list and just showed up, and it was a family member, and just said, oh, I'm so-and-so, I'm here to see my mother, and they just let them through. Somebody else said they had a rental car or whatever, and they just came up to the gate and said, oh, I'm a resident. And they just let them through. The thing that happened on Sunday, which we'll probably talk about at security, people came through just waving them through, from my understanding. But I think the frustration also then leads back to getting a notification on your gate access that you never called anybody in the first place. And then sometimes I don't even get notified when I have called somebody and I don't get a notification. So I don't understand.
Yeah, I want to echo, I mean, we should talk about that. I'll defer to security committee to talk about it. But you're right. And, you know, I know we are accustomed, as you say, people that are residents and Mark, we are issued a PIN. Personal mm-hmm. identification number. And on those occasions where we drive a rental car, as Beth mm-hmm. mentions, or we are riding with someone else that's picked us up and taken us out, we always stop at the gate and just give our name and our PIN number. But I also have heard directly from a couple of my friends in the community. I remember one, it was back in the summer, she was out of state and got a notification. It did come through that, you know, that somebody come through to go visit her, and she goes, I didn't authorize anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think it was either a mistake in the address or something. I mean, obviously human error is going to factor into that, but I'll defer to security for you guys to talk about that a little bit more. Do we have any other public comment on this item?
Yes, sir.
So then what we're left with, Amelia, is item 6, comments from the public. I don't think we have any additional. We have it. Okay. Okay. Well, just give me 1 second, if you would, Richard. Amelia, I'd like, so you see the content that is underneath item number 6?
Yes, I do.
I think that content should be at the top of the page.
Mm-hmm. You want You want public comment?
Well, look at the content. If you wish to speak during comments from the public or would like to comment regarding mm-hmm. an item appearing on a meeting agenda, please complete. That should be at the top, I think, of
information
of the document. And I also prefer, as I've mentioned before, to put comments from the public higher on the agenda. And I think we need to take a look at doing that on all of our board meeting agenda and as well as the agendas that we have for committee. I prefer my committees. I would like to have comments from the public at the top with that phrase. And then people, if they want to talk about something that's not on our agenda, we get that taken care of early. And, of course, if they want to speak on something that's on our agenda, then they can put a card in. So, okay. But I think that instruction really belongs at the top of the page.
So you want it to be, you can't probably see it. You want it to be right after that first paragraph that says, permitted to interrupt or delay district meetings, new paragraph, that verbiage. And then, in this case, comments from the public being item number two.
Yeah, that's what I'm envisioning, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Or it doesn't, if we're going to have it as a consistent item, it doesn't have to have a number. It's instructions.
No, she's saying comments from the public would be our number two agenda item.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. So okay.
Yeah, yes. Yes, that's what I'm envisioning.
I
would prefer. And the instructions can either go after that instructional paragraph that's already mm-hmm. there, or if we move comments from the public to the top, then it could stay there because mm-hmm. it's the only thing after call to order.
Okay.
So whichever you think looks better, but I just want to move item six up to number two in the future.
And then I will make that change for finance and personnel, which I haven't published those agendas yet.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Mr. Gears.
Okay, I guess this is communications. I think I'd rather address the full board, but you're here today. I've wanted to contact the general manager within the last month, and I guess for all intents and purposes, we don't have a general manager right now.
She's on leave.
Yeah. I have an issue that I would like at least to be aware of, perhaps get an answer from, and I don't know who to send it to. I don't know if I can send it to somebody. I would like, I suppose, an answer. Who do I send it to? And I would prefer to say this at the board meeting because I'd like to get input from Mr. Enright. Because I want to send this in, and I don't want a year from now saying, hey, we didn't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, what do I do?
So what's the nature, just the nature of the topic?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, well, so any communication can be sent to Amelia, and she can direct it to the right place. If it has something to do with finance or administration, Mr. Matulich is always available and responsive. And has anything to do with utilities or plants or infrastructure, Mr. Houston is our director. And I think you should feel free to communicate directly with either of them. You can always send it to Amelia. You can always send
it.
And unless I'm the issue of concern.
Okay. I'm the issue.
You know, you can always send it to me. And you've seen, I will direct it to the right person. But you're right. Currently, we do not have the general manager on site. The general manager is on leave. We don't have a return to work date or any additional information. But I think you have some options. Board president, board secretary, either one of these two gentlemen.
Okay, good enough. Yeah. I was going to send the general manager with a copy to you. So when
fine.
I send it to Amelia, I'll send you a copy too.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. Any other publics from the comments from the public?
No, sir.
All right, with that objection, then we will adjourn the meeting.
I just want to say thank you to the people who came, Myrna, Beth, and Richard, of course. That's the most people we've had at the communications committee in a long time.